We'll look at two passages this morning, Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7. Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7. Thinking of Mother's Day, I read about a young man that became very successful, and he was wanted to take care of his mother, but he was a penny-pinching miser. He was known all in the business world, all his life as a penny-pinching miser, known for his love for money and lack of love for anyone else. And he defended himself one time explaining about his mother. He said, "I couldn't stand for my mother to go on year after year working every night, all night, scrubbing and cleaning office floors." And so this penny-pinching miser said, "So I bought out the office building." One of the listeners heard about it and was kind of impressed and said, "Wow, and what did you do with your dear mother after that?" The man smiled proudly and he said, "You know what? Well, I moved her immediately to the day shift." And so if you're thinking of a Mother's Day gift, I would say do something a little more. There was another mom. She was traveling near Mother's Day. She was a wife of an army colonel, and she'd made an all-night flight to meet her husband at his military assignment in Germany. She arrived weary at Rhein-Main Air Force Base in Germany, and she had 9 children with her, and they were all under the age of 11. Collecting their suitcases, the 10 of them entered the cramped custom areas, and a young custom officer watched and disbelief and said, "Ma'am, do all of these children and all of this luggage belong to you?" And she said, "Yes, sir," with a sigh. "They are all mine." And then the young custom guy started interrogating and asking questions. He said, "Ma'am, do you have any weapons, contraband, or illegal drugs in your possessions?" She just looked at the man, finally having enough, and said, "Sir, if I had any of those items, I would have used them by now." All right? And that is the story of motherhood. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at both of these passages. This story is listed both in Matthew and in Mark chapter 7. So Matthew chapter 15. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Then turn to Mark chapter 7. We'll see the same passage. It just gives a little bit of some different detail in Mark chapter 7. Look at verse 24. It says, "And from thence he arose, went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into an house." That gives us a little more why. "And would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We would ask that you would give clarity And Lord, you would speak to hearts as we think about this mother here this morning. Try to apply it to our lives. Lord, give us the understanding. Lord, as always, do what I can and speak to hearts. Lord, we do ask for your power and claim it. In Jesus' name, amen. In honor of Mother's Day, we're going to look at this, the value of a mother's faith. The value of a mother's faith. And in this passage, you see that it says that Jesus left the Galilee area and he went to a place called Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon was a little bit north. It was a little bit northwest. It was a right on the Mediterranean Sea. And it was, if you look at it in a historical setting, you can go back to Alexander the Great way back in, I think, 370 B.C. And Alexander the Great had conquered in the Greek Empire. He had taken all kinds of cities and he came down in Tyre and Sidon. And eventually, as it progressed towards the time of Christ, Tyre was known as a very wealthy place. In fact, by 200 A.D., there's a man that wrote one of the versions of the Bible. His name was Jerome. He wrote the Latin Vulgate. Jerome wrote, I think, around 200 A.D., that Tyre was known for, it was one of the most noble towns in the Phoenician Empire. So this town, it was a coastal town. It had some wealth. It may not have had all the wealth by the time of Christ. It was gaining in popularity, gaining in wealth. But this lady lived there. She came through here. Jesus, it says, left the Galilee. He was doing some things in Capernaum. He was doing other different miracles and different things. And he was tired of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were coming after him and they were attacking him all the time. So it says, remember in Mark chapter 7, that he went to Tyre and he wanted to hide himself. So Jesus was tired of the crowd. He was tired of all these people coming around him. And he went to this little coastal town and he thought, maybe because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they keep chasing me and they keep on agitating everybody, I'm just going to go up to this little place called Tyre. That is kind of the setting that we come into. And we're going to take some observations then from this mother that comes. And you read in Mark chapter 7 that her daughter was left at her house. And she hears that Jesus is coming, and so she comes and finds Jesus. This is where we encounter the story in Matthew chapter 15. Here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, Jesus went thence, he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And here is a Canaanite woman. The woman has come in to plead for her daughter. She knows that Jesus is the only one that can help her. And her faith becomes the key that saves the life of her daughter. Her faith in Christ is a beautiful picture of the value of a mother's faith. And so we want to look at that just quickly this morning and look at a couple of things that show what a faithful mother is. What is a faithful mother? Well, first we see in verse 22, behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. First of all, we see that a faithful mother finds her strength in the Lord. You notice what she cries out, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Those are both messianic terms from the Old Testament. O Lord, and thou son of David. So she's saying as a Canaanite. We saw in Mark chapter 7, she was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician woman. And she cries out, although she could not really come as an Israelite and say, this is my Messiah. She's recognizing that Jesus Christ is her Messiah. She cries out, have mercy, O Lord, son of David. She is saying, this is my Lord, this is my Messiah. The psalmist, he said this in Psalm 62. He said, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Hannah said this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." And let me just mention to you this morning, as a mother that is sitting here, your hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. That is where your hope should rest. And our hope is always in Jesus Christ being our Savior. If you are going to be a good mother to your children, first of all, you need to go to the person who can make you a faithful mother. And that is Jesus Christ. You cannot be the right type of mother and just go out there and say, "I'm going to find it on my own. I'm going to go to some bookstore and I'm going to find and read all the books I can on being a great mother." You can do all that, but you will not be a faithful mother. Why? Because Jesus Christ will make you the mother you should be. Jesus Christ, the horn of our salvation, the chief shepherd, the Bible calls him, the rock of your salvation. That is the Jesus Christ you should rest upon. This mother was faithful because she found the Lord to be her strength. And so my challenge to you, first of all, mothers, is have you found the Lord to be your strength? If you have, and you've accepted Him as your Savior, have you left that as a mother? This week, did you try rearing your children in your own strength? You'll find it to be weary. You'll find it to be hard. You'll find it to be bitter. You'll find it to be almost impossible. But if you come back to the strength of your salvation, what you will find is that the Lord can help you bear it. The Lord can help you. The Lord can strengthen you. We need to be you need to be, as a mother, a faithful mother, and recognize that the Lord is your strength. Now notice secondly in our passage. Notice what the mother does. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David.'" Now notice what she cries out. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So what is a faithful mother? A faithful mother recognizes that the Lord is her strength. But a faithful mother knows the spiritual needs of her children. Do you know the spiritual needs of your children? In our society, it is almost as though, and the Bible says, in the last days, there will be those that do not have natural affection. And I believe an unnatural affection is one, having a child and saying, "I don't want that child," and you abort it. That is a horrible thing to even imagine. And yet our society now, over 50 million babies. Our streets, in essence, run red with the blood of our little children. And we say, expedience. We say, you know what? That's my choice. You know what your choice is? Your choice should be to be a good mother. A choice should be in our society to have some morals. To have a biblical foundation, not to let our streets run red with the blood of our children. How unnatural that is. But then it's even more unnatural. Remember, in the last month or two, there's certain cities that are now putting together ordinances, and they're calling them baby drop boxes. There's cities that are actually thinking about this. And so now a mother that doesn't want her child can, without animosity or without, I'm trying to think of the word. What's that word? Without consciousness. That's a good one. All right. Without conscience. All right. They can drop off their baby and nobody will know and they will not be held accountable. How sick. What kind of society are we that we would have children and, oh, just have a drop box and you know what? The all-wise government will take care of your children. How are they doing with them? As a mother, you should be coming to Jesus Christ, the strength of your life, the salvation of your soul, the one who can get you to heaven, and He can also help you with your children. And we should come to God pleading and saying, God, help me with my children. How unnatural. How unnatural in our society. A faithful mother knows the spiritual needs of her children. And she doesn't go to a psychologist. She doesn't go to the therapist. She doesn't go to the school counselor. No, she gets on her knees and says, oh, Lord, help me. My child needs you. That's where we should go. Spiritual mother knows the spiritual needs of her children. And think about our society. Our society. How sad that now we have to have nurseries in our high schools. I'm sorry, but we're not training our mothers to be mothers. We're training our mothers to be self-centered. We're not training our mothers to be temperate in all things like the Bible says. Remember, we talked about in the month of March, we're supposed to grow in grace. And what is one of the things that we're supposed to add to our faith? Temperance. What does temperance mean? Self-control. And we should be teaching our young daughters, we should be teaching our young children that are growing up in our homes. Mothers, you should be teaching them to have self-control, to be turned towards the Savior. That's what we should be doing in our homes. And the way we can do that is to go to God and say, God, my children have needs. Help me. You see what she's calling out? She says, God, help me. Go to your Savior. A spiritual mother knows the spiritual needs of her children. But this is another one that I like in this passage. Look at verse 23. I tried to think about this. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks. And you'll see a number of things that happen here. But in verse 23, she calls out. But notice what it says. But he answered her not a word. That is amazing to me. Jesus said nothing. Then the disciples come in verse 23. Send her away, for she crieth after us. So she comes to Jesus, and Jesus, it is as though he doesn't even see or hear her. So then I take it from the passage and from the other passage that then she goes to the disciples and just hanging on to them. Hey, can you tell them? Hey, I'm trying to talk to them. Hey, can you just let them know? Hey, you know, I'm trying to talk to Jesus over here. And he's, that's what I am picturing it. So she's trying to get the disciples, and the disciples then come to Jesus and say, hey, do you think that maybe we could tell her to get out of here? She's crying after us. So there we have that one. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what is Jesus? So the one time he says something now, what does he say? You're a Gentile. You're a Gentile. I'm here for the house of Israel. But then look at, then came she and worshiped him. And it seems as though she falls on her knees and says, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, that idea of dogs, you might say, whoa, man, I can't believe he said that. All right. But actually, with the Gentiles and the Jews often referred to the Gentiles as dogs. All right. Not as a horrible slam, but it was just referred to as that. Right? It was the Gentiles and probably the lost sheep. You notice Jesus referred to the lost sheep. Okay, so the Jewish people are considered the sheep and the Gentiles are the dogs outside. And so it's not necessarily a slam, but notice verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What do you notice about this mother? All her strength is in the Lord. She knows the spiritual needs of her children. But this, a spiritual mother, a faithful mother, prays earnestly for her children. Nothing will stop her. Nothing will stop you. You see her continuing. You see her persisting. You see her maintaining. You see her continually coming. And here, Jesus, not saying a word. So she goes to the disciples. Disciples come to Jesus. Would you just tell her to get away from us? So then she comes in and falls on her knees and worships Jesus. Jesus says, I'm only here to minister to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she still doesn't stop. And you know, some of us, as faithful parents, and I'll talk to both of us, moms and dads, but especially we're looking at mothers on Mother's Day. How soon you give up on your children. How soon you quit. And God, you say, He's not answering me. Look at the passage. That doesn't mean He's not hearing you. It's not saying that God doesn't want to answer. Maybe He just wants to see, are you persistent enough? Will you keep at it? Will you keep at it? Cry out to God. Worship Him. Say, God, I know I don't deserve it, but please just give me some crumbs. But most of us, we don't have that persistence. Most of us, we say, well, God, just, you know what? It's the sovereign will of the Lord. And all of a sudden, you become a Calvinist. Well, I just believe in the hand of the Lord. But you know what? The Bible tells you and I that I believe that God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to call out to Him. And I believe if you cry and you're persistent and you're continuing and you're maintaining that persistence, then all of a sudden God will turn and you'll say, oh, mother of great faith. You know, there's two times in the Gospels, at least from what I looked at this past week. There's two times that Christ said great faith. Do you know both of them? Both of those cases, none of them were Jews. Syrophoenician woman and the centurion. Remember the centurion that came? He was a Roman centurion. And those two, who really, according to Christ, He was there. He was the Messiah. He was coming to rescue His people, this lost nation of Israel, and turn them back and look at the Messiah. He has come, and He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But here are two people on the outside, and Jesus Christ looks at them and says, wow, they have great faith. And His own disciples, what did He tell them? Over and over, O ye of little faith. And sometimes those of us that we sit in church and we come and we read our Bibles and we say, I'm so good. And yet it's those that are farther away that, man, they seem to have more faith. We need to be persistent. We need to be crying out to God. Is that you today as a mother? Mother with your children, do you see the spiritual needs? And when you see those spiritual needs, are you on your knees? Are you begging God? Are you coming to the Savior? And you say, He's not hearing me. No, no, no. Maybe He just wants to see you persistent. A faithful mother earnestly prays for her children. She refused to be discouraged. We saw it. Jesus answered her not a word. Jesus refused the intercession of the disciples. Jesus entered into a house and she followed him. And Jesus said, it's not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But she said, I'm still staying. Will you stay? Will you stay as a mother? Funny story. Just about a stamp that says, it goes like this. There was a little postage stamp. No bigger than your thumb. But still it stuck right on the job until its work was done. They licked it and they pounded it till it'd make you sick. But the more it took the licking, the tighter it would stick. Let's be like the postage stamp in playing life's big game and stick to what we know is right. And we can't miss our aim. Is that true in your life that you just give up? You just quit. Don't quit, mothers. Don't stop pleading for your children. Be persistent, be faithful, be earnest in this area. Pray for them. But then look at, I think this is, these last two, I think, are wrapped together. Look at in verse 26 and 27. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what a mother is? A faithful mother knows their strength is in the Lord. She also knows the needs of her children spiritually. She's earnestly praying for her children. But notice, she's satisfied with God's provision. She's satisfied. And you also see in this passage that she's satisfied with God's person. She's satisfied with his provision and with God's person. Why do we see it? We see it that he says, even, she looked at Jesus and said, yes, but even I can have some crumbs from the master's table. Are you willing to get the crumbs from Christ? Is it enough for you? As a mother here this morning, is it enough for you? Because some of you, what you have done is said, you know what? I'm not getting enough from God. And so you've gone to another table. You've gone to another table and it's not the master's table. And there you say, man, I have fared sumptuously. Oh, yeah. But that's what the rich man did. He fared sumptuously. But then when it came time to die, here our Lord and Savior said, thou fool. Thou fool. And my warning to you mothers here this morning is be satisfied with God's provision. God's provision is that you come to Him and you bow on your knee and you trust Him as your Savior. And then you follow Him and you take from His table all the time. Don't go to some other table and you get sustenance. No, stay at the table of Christ. And Christ can feed you. He can meet your needs. Why go somewhere else? We say only Jesus can satisfy our soul. But yet so many times, what are we doing? We're searching somewhere else. We're going to something else. And notice in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what a faithful mother does? She brings God's blessing to her family. You see what it says? Oh, mother, great is thy faith. And her child was made whole. And guess what? You as a mother, you can bring God's blessing to your house. Here it is, there's a shining example, and the lady, the mother, the Syrophoenician mother, She wouldn't stop. She knew it was God, and she was satisfied with what God gave her. And guess what happened? God blessed her house. God blessed her house. One person put an acronym together for mother. It said M is for the million looks she's given. O is for that she's really getting older. She can't catch me quite as fast as she used to. T is for all the tears that come and go so quickly. H is for her hair. It is really changing. She covers it with Clairol Sunny Day. She thinks we don't know, but we're the wiser. E is for the eerie way she knows me. It's as if she reads my mind and sees my every move. R is for mom is right. Right she'll be, so pay attention and heed this little warning. You better listen or obey or you will pay come morning. Put them all together and you spell mother. The one who gave you birth with suffering and pain. The one who loves you more than chocolate kisses. She would die to keep you safe from day to day. She's the only one whose heart will always treasure all the memories of your youth and days gone by. A heart that beats with love forever, even when you crashed her car and made her cry. Mother, will you be as this mother this morning? First, I ask you, Mother, do you have saving faith? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you bowed your knee to this Lord, O Lord, thou Son of David, this Messiah that came and He died at an old rugged cross so that you could have salvation? Have you as a mother bent your knee? Because as a mother, if you then have saving faith, then you can lead your children to this Savior who can give them saving faith. You see, you can make that decision for yourself, but as a mother, you cannot save your children, but you can lead them to Christ. But how are you going to lead them when you don't know this Savior? You don't know this Christ. So my challenge to you, first of all, is have saving faith. Have saving faith. Lead your children then to the foot of that cross where you accepted Jesus Christ and the burden of your heart rolled away. Accept Jesus. Have you done this, Mother? Do you have a saving faith? Then if you are a mother of saving faith, then are you persistent with your children? Are you persistent in leading them to the Lord? Are you persistent in coming to God and seeing the spiritual needs of your children? Have you let it go? Have you not been on your knees for your children? Who's pleading for them? Who's pleading for your children? Is that teacher at school? Is it the guidance counselor? Is it the therapist? Are they pleading for your children? No, they're not. God wants you to plead for your children. So won't you do it? As a mother, won't you be there? Well, what will stop you? What has stopped you? Then get back at it. Call upon this Savior. Say, oh, Savior. Oh, Lord, thou Son of David. Oh, my daughter is grievously vexed. My children. And you may not hear a word. But have you stopped? Then go to the disciples and say, come on, help me, help me. Those disciples may go to this Christ and say, hey, she's bothering us. Then get inside the door, bust it open. Get down and worship this Lord and Savior. He may say, you know what? I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then cry out to Him and say, just give me some crumbs. Just give me some crumbs. And you see our Savior turn to this mother and say what? Great is thy faith. Do we have persistent faith this morning? Mothers, do you have saving faith? Do you have persistent faith? Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Talking to mothers here this morning. It could be that you're a mother here this morning and you are saved. Let me talk to you first. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you have not been the mother you should be. God convicted you in this area of prayer, this area of coming to God. God convicted you. God spoke to your heart here this morning. As we close in prayer this morning, if you say, God spoke to me as a mother, I know I'm saved, I'm a child of God, but God convicted me in this area of being persistent and following after God and crying after God for my children. God convicted me in that area. If God touched your heart here this morning, would you slip up your hand? You're saved. All right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Okay. Now to maybe someone that's unsaved. You're here as a mother here this morning. And as we are talking about the Syrophoenician woman, you saw that she came to Jesus. And you have never come to Jesus. I ask you this morning, did God convict you about coming to Christ? You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the greatest step you can make as a mother, to have saving faith. If you would say, God spoke to me, I know I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It could not just be a mother. It could be anybody here this morning. And God spoke to your heart. And you'd say, God spoke to me about having saving faith. I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me as you close in prayer? Is there anybody like that this morning? You'd slip up your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? All right. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. I'm looking around. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Now, when I pray, it's not going to get you saved. It's not going to get you saved, but you're going to have to step out. That'll take a little courage to step out, come down and ask one of these men. And we'll have somebody that knows the Scripture that can show you this Christ, the Lord, the Son of David. They can show you Him and how you can trust in Him to be your Savior. Heavenly Father.